Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
Opening stinger.
Thing.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Everything's a song.
Everything's a song.
Just take a look around you.
You just can't go wrong.
Nothing can go wrong.
I'm in the wrong key, and you're even wronger.
Well, I was trying to follow you.
You weren't trying hard enough. I'm Carrie.
And I'm Luke.
This is Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Again?
Episode number 57, January 25th, 2012.
2012.
Which is not the year I said last time.
Well, let's blame me.
Blame you, yes, because you had the wrong year listed on the outline. So this time we have no outline.
Yeah, because,
Because we're recording in the daytime.
Yes, and I am fully in the throes of MarsCon work and prep and stuff, so, and other projects that are connected to it because they have to be done in time for MarsCon or for producing products that will be at MarsCon. So, yeah, I don't really have, you know, we just whipped up some news of the stupid. We organized the comments, and then
and by we, I mean you.
Yeah.
Well, I was adding things to my baby registries,
and I snagged a few notes on things that I had made since last time, so I at least have a couple things to potentially talk about. So anyway, and a vague idea of what songs might be played. At least one for sure we know we're playing.
Yeah.
So anyway, what have you been up to since the last time we did an episode, Carrie?
Well, I believe the baby shower happened since then. What date was our last episode?
Here, I'll bring up my calendar.
Our last episode
was here.
On the 11th.
So, yeah. So you had a
baby shower. On the 14th, which was actually Luke's actual birthday. And how often do you get a birthday on a Saturday and then have it, you know, taken over by somebody else?
Yeah, it happens.
So, went to a park district location in Des Plaines, Illinois, where Luke and Sarah were already setting up food and decorations, and me and Josh showed up, and we were the second ones to show up. Well, we also had Megan in tow, Megan of Iowa, of Eminem, Moonbeam, fame-related stuff things. Then people started slowly showing up, and we ate lots and lots of food, and we decorated onesies, which we stole from Moonbeam's baby shower she had for Ferris.
And could you describe some of the onesie designs?
You just want me to describe the ones you made.
Well, then do that. I don't care. I'm so apathetic right now.
He made one that said double rainbow with double rainbows. I think that was in the 18-month size range, so it'll be a while before Alex can wear that one. And then you made a smaller one that just says, I want tile in big orange letters.
Yes, and there were two different ways to make them. You could either use the fabric paints that are in the little bottles.
Which is what everybody did, except for you and Matt.
Yeah, and I kind of felt like, well, since Sarah, you know, got the stuff, you know, we should at least make some attempts to use it. So yeah, Matt made a kind of a camouflage design. And I made one that said, I want tile. So, you know, those were the two ideas I had.
Yep. Yeah, the camouflage design was Matt Doohan made because, according to Matt Doohan, babies love Platoon and all Platoon-related products.
Well, alrighty then. I never saw Platoon one ever.
I never saw Platoon either, I don't think. But so, it's relating to military things. And apparently it's a hilarious joke.
So speaking of hilarious jokes, it was not my idea, but Sarah came up with her idea of her interpretation of what a good cake wreck cake would be for you for this party.
Yeah.
So do you want to describe it?
Yeah, the cake was awesome and epic. It's also very, very in-jokey and only, like, 10 people on planet Earth are going to completely fully get it. Maybe 10. Because it's based on... First of all, it's based on one of the famous cakes on CakeRex.com where there's Darth Vader holding a adorable baby with a bottle and it says it's a girl. So it's kind of loosely based on that. But it's also based on Flat 29's the time-traveling musical adventures of Sherlock Holmes the musical and the character Professor Winston, the robot, bumbling robot who says, "Aw, shucks." So apparently Sarah came up with the idea that Professor Winston should be holding a baby boy with an adorable bottle, and the cake should say, "It's a boy, aw, shucks."
Yes. So she had me design, like, drop a cartoon image of Winston holding the baby to mimic the way the Darth Vader with the girl looked, but I had to kind of simplify the image a bit so that it would be easier for her to do it with the buttercream transfer, and the shade of gray she had for Winston was a bit darker than she had wanted it to, but
that made it look more like Darth Vader.
Yeah. So,
I mean, you guys were mad at me because I, like, had peeked at the cake before I was supposed to, but I didn't see that it was Professor Winston until the big reveal. I just saw that it was, oh, look, it's based on the it's a girl Darth Vader cake.
Yeah.
I didn't see till later that it was Professor Winston and that it said, aw, shucks.
And I wore my Professor Winston t-shirt to the baby shower.
Yeah.
You know, as foreshadowing, or at least as an explanation for everybody who didn't know what the hell that was all about.
Which was at least half the people there.
Yeah. So, you know, Carrie had said that she wanted a cake rack, and I came up with an idea that Sarah refused to do, which I thought was brilliant.
I'm glad she didn't do it. There was two children that did turn up at the baby shower and more than two that were supposed to be there.
So keeping in mind that so many of these baby shower cakes, people try to get creative and they're showing like a woman's stomach or even worse, like a woman's big stomach, but then like a baby's like bursting out of it like Alien or
a foot
or a hand or a foot with a sign like I'm a boy or whatever. And just those are kind of creepy to her. So I'm like, well, let's just go super high concept. Let's just have a simple round cake and then you can paint the round cake to look like, you know, a human egg. And then you could make about, you know, 30 or 40 cake balls that you could dip in white icing and have tails coming off of them so that they look like sperms. And then have the sperm surrounding the egg cake with, like, one sperm, like, in the top, like, actually going into the cake or something, you know.
Yeah.
And Sarah refused to do that idea. Maybe for good reason, but I still think that's a brilliant idea.
You just wanted cake balls. The cake she made was amazingly delicious.
Yeah, it was very good.
I mean, that's the difference between a Sarah cake and any other cake, you know, that is decorated prettily, is that the cakes Sarah make taste amazing. So, whether it's, you know, like, you know, the cake, my wedding cake, my baby shower cake, the cake balls, you know.
Yeah.
The baby shower cake was fantastic. I'm just drooling just thinking about it.
And then, like, the leftovers, like, sitting in the kitchen all week, and I'm trying to, like, be good and be in a diet.
You're shitting me, right?
Oh, it's cake.
I thought we practically cleaned them off at the after party.
There was a pretty decent amount of it left.
Oh, I didn't know that. I would have taken some.
Yeah, I had at least a slice.
Oh, God, it was so good.
So anything else happened to you in the past 2 weeks worth noting?
Well, I wasn't done talking about the baby shower.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We also had a game where we put a bunch of presents in the middle that... This is all Sarah, by the way. Sarah did everything, and she paid for everything, which I don't even want to know how much she paid for everything. But, so this game also was... it was, like, my idea that I wanted it there, but she paid for everything and set everything up where there was just, like, a bunch of gifts in the middle, kind of like a white elephant, only Sarah brought all of them. And we, you know, picked gifts by going around in a circle and shaking some dice in a pie pan, which was something that we always did at baby showers when I was a kid. The only thing that was missing was the... laundry basket holding the presents. I mean, it absolutely had to be a pie pan that we shook the dice in. We couldn't just put them on the table. So we got some funny things in there. I wound up with some pink fake mustaches and various items. Those, like, Chinese finger holders.
Yes.
It's a trap. Except when we brought them home and I tried them, none of them worked. So... Maybe, I don't know if you have to be a kid for it to work or something. It didn't work on my fingers. So I threw them all away because they were defective. Although we had given away a lot of them. And then we came back to Luke and Sarah's house afterwards for the after party. And by that time, we'd shed all the non-dementia people that had shown up. And it was just dementia friends. And so, you know, it was sort of like... You know, it was a Luke birthday party, too, even though Luke didn't get presents. But we sang happy birthday, and we played fun games and socialized and kept Luke from having to go to work on a Saturday like he usually does. And, we played Boob Tree.
I got the cards over there. Should we discuss any of them, or should we just move on?
No, we'll just move on, I guess.
Okay.
So then I had my... At the second to the last day of my job, they threw me a quote-unquote surprise baby shower there, only I knew it was happening. And so I got a lot more items. I didn't even mention all the, like, you know, overwhelming plethora of items I got at the first baby shower. But, you know, then I got even more items at the second baby shower. And I still have one baby shower coming up on Super Bowl Sunday that the choir ladies are doing. So it's Baby Shower City. But, you know, it's good for me. Every baby shower I get through represents, you know, another milestone achieved on the way to getting this gigantic baby out of me. and then I had my final day at work, and it was just really weird. And my cubicles all cleaned out. I turned in my badges. I left, said goodbye to everybody, gave some hugs.
So were you at all sad to go?
Yeah. I mean, it's 8.5 years, you know. You do the same thing. You go to the same place with the same people every day for 8.5 years. And I mean the same people. Maybe your workplace, you know... Maybe you have been there that long, but it's all totally different people than it was back then. No, Quest doesn't have, and I guess I'll say their name because I don't work there anymore anyways. You know, Quest Diagnostics doesn't have, you know, a high turnover. They have very good employee retention rates. So it is pretty much the same people that I've been with for, like, the whole time, more or less. So, you know, it's kind of sad, and it's now Wednesday, at a time when I would normally still possibly be at work, and, you know, I haven't adjusted yet, and actually my wrists hurt more than they did when I was working, and now my back and feet hurt more because I'm on my feet more doing more housework, and I haven't exactly caught up on sleep yet, you know, because sleep just isn't what it used to be at this stage in the pregnancy. But, you know, I'll get over it, I'm sure. I keep having dreams about Quest every night. It's just like, I really don't want to dream about Quest, but I keep dreaming about it. And, like my brain just keeps redoing the last day over and over in different ways. It's irritating. But anyways, you know, it's a thing. While other people were at work today, I was at a comic shop, a game store, and a Potbelly, and, you know, and at Luke's house watching Beavis and Butthead.
So, you know.
It's not that bad.
You now have my life.
It's not all bad.
So, okay.
I still will make money at my church choir, but not much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting ready to be a mom. So, and I went to La Leche League meeting last night, and there was 8 babies there. And One of them was probably the size of Alex, the size Alex is now. So I just kept staring at that baby because, like, oh my god, that's like the size of my fetus that's inside of me, except my fetus probably has longer legs than that little midget. And, oh, the babies were all so cute. And, somebody had a toy of, Yoda as Stitch as Yoda. You've seen that?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was funny. And we went to see Beauty and the Beast in the theater. We finally watched Hangover on Netflix. Or no, actually Amazon streaming and stuff. So, what's up in your life, Flukeski?
Well, why don't we throw in a song break here, because I just got an email from Dr. Demento that I want to reply to, so...
Okay.
And, you know, since we're totally unstructured here...
We have no content planned.
So we'll do Alrighty. That. Here's a song or a track of funniness of some kind.
CB4 in the motherfucking house.
Yeah, Gusto's in the motherfucking house with my man Dead Mike. We breaking motherfuckers off 24/7. So check this shit out.
Hey, yo, Gusto. What's up?
Straight out of low cash, a crazy motherfucker named Gusto. I fuck your wife, cause the bitch is a big hoe. I fuck your sister, I fuck your cat. I will fuck your mom, but the bitch is too fat. When I'm in the neighborhood, you better dig a moat, cause I'm coming to slit your motherfucking throat. Blood is dripping, I'm not slipping. Bitches' panties is what I'm ripping. Rolling faster than a motherfucking dirt bike. Never met a piece of pussy that I didn't like. Like to eat it, like to suck it. Take the shit in a bucket, straight out of low cash. Where you from, nigga? Yeah.
Coming straight out of low cash. A crazy motherfucker named Dead Mike. So get ready, cause you're going for a long hike. Off a cliff, I'm driving you over. Now you're dead with your four leaf clover. Float like a cannonball, sting like a shark. I'm the nigga waiting for you in the dark. Waiting to rob you, waiting to beat you. A bullet in your head is how I treat you. A villain with a hat, and it's like that. I tied your mom to a motherfucking train. Trying to slide on her back. I gave her some crack at 10 o'clock. Do you know where your mom's is at?
Doing
wiping
what?
Her ass, she had to move. Straight out of low cash.
Yeah.
Damn good job. And bitches on my dick like a human shish kebab.
Hey.
Okay, so that has been taken care of. So, yes, I had a birthday. my mom actually had given me a birthday gift the week before when I went to visit Pete and her, because Pete does this thing every year that he calls Ukrainian Christmas, and I don't know if it's based on anything other than him just wanting to get together with his relatives and have a Christmas get-together, you know, a week or two after Christmas is over.
Well, people do that. I mean, it's, that's the 12 days of Christmas thing, you know. The first day is the 25th of December, and then mm-hmm. you go through to Epiphany and stuff.
So, yeah, so that was nice. She got me some big industrial oven mitts to use with the grill. So whenever...
Because I'm sure you'll be the one grilling.
Yeah. So, and she got me another bacon-related t-shirt, so, you know, that's always good.
There's been a lot of bacon-related t-shirts out lately. I've seen them at Target and all kinds of shit.
I was ahead of the curve on that.
Yeah, you were. You were a pioneer.
I'm a goddamn trendsetter. Anyway, the baby shower was a lot of fun, and then we came back to the place and played an awesome game called Pass the Popcorn.
Yes.
The best game ever.
Oh, I conveniently forgot to mention it.
Yeah, you conveniently forgot to mention it. And brief description, the game Pass the Popcorn is you get a deck of cards, and on each card, the top of the card lists a genre of... you're talking about a specific movie. So at the top of the card is the genre of the movie and the year it came out. And then underneath that, there's four different categories of the cast, the actual celebrities in it, the names of the characters in it. The third category is
a description.
A description of the film that doesn't include any of the other information on the other categories, just kind of a vague description, and then quotes from the movie or a tagline from the poster or something, and then at the bottom, of course, it lists what the actual movie is. So basically, you play this in with a group of people, and you each get cards with those different categories, and you know somebody reads off. People take turns, and when it's your turn, you can pick one of the categories from one of the cards that you picked, and then, you know, it's like, oh, well, I pick, the quote category, and, you know, then the person who's reading will tell you the quote, and then based on what you just heard, plus knowing the genre and the year the movie came out, you can make a guess as to what movie that is, and, you know, if you don't get it right, then it moves on to the next person in the group. If you do get it right, you get to turn over your little card.
Well, anybody can guess that has that.
Well, I'm giving an oversimplified explanation of it, just because you know
this is not how the game is played.
So basically, it's a game about guessing movies based on clues having to do with the genre, the year, the cast, the characters,
it's a movie trivia
the
game.
Plot. Yeah, so. So we start playing it with a group of, like, eight of us.
And of course, we Phil had to leave before then, which means you had no competition.
Yeah. So, well, it's not like you guys are all slouches in the realm of pop culture. You all like stuff. I happen to pay attention to it a little bit more because...
You want to pretend your wins were well and hard fought.
Well, it's like... I'm sorry. It's like my brain retains, you know... Like movie trailers. So
Luke
even if
won
I haven't
twice in a row.
Yeah, basically we played the game. We fully played two games of the game, so to speak. And even though there were times when I was not winning, so to speak, but still
not really.
I when it came to winning the game, I won the game twice in a row. And upon winning the game both times, I got showered in booze on my birthday. On my fucking birthday.
Fuck you.
Not even at my birthday party because it was a Carrie baby shower party. It's like, can we play my game that I got for Christmas from my mom? And then we play it and I win it. Boo! Ooh. You suck, Luke.
That was awesome. We love booing you. You're the consummate bad guy wrestler.
So the following night, I actually had a birthday you know, get together with my mom at Cracker Barrel. Because my mom loves me.
Likes Cracker Barrel.
And my mom likes Cracker Barrel, and so does Sarah. And we met at the Cracker Barrel in Gurnee, because right after that I went over to Key Lime Cove and drew caricatures on Martin Luther King Day Eve. Mm-hmm. Because whenever there's a national holiday on a Monday, it's always packed at Key Lime Cove on the night before. So that's I occasionally go out and draw on Sundays when that happens.
You're such a whiny little bitch.
It was my birthday.
I gave you birthday presents.
I'm just being whiny.
Whiny, whiny little bitch, bitchy, bitch, bitch.
I couldn't
like really say, hey, everybody, along with your baby shower present, also shell out for Luke's birthday because he's going to be there. Well, and
I didn't ask anybody to get me anything. I intentionally kept my mouth shut, and you know.
I mean, if all our friends were rich, I would have, you know, told them all to bring you a present. But
yeah,
they're not.
So anyway,
I mean, you know, a present is pretty much your ticket to get into the baby shower. If you show up to baby shower without a present, you're at the wrong place. You know.
Yeah. So I've been, you know, hard at work on MarsCon related things. I just got the t-shirt art done a few days ago, and then Bill just posted it last night up on Spreadshirt. People can buy the Spreadshirt and see all the different various comedy music acts and the various forms of apocalypse that they represent.
I only had time to look at the small version on my phone.
Oh, okay.
I was secretly hoping you'd find some goofy way to work me in. I'll just say that the Hello Kitty represents me.
Well, yeah. So that's you know, that's good that's up. The fundraiser is going really well. Although, you know, we still want to sell more. So if you haven't gotten the fundraiser collection this year on CD or MP3, please do so.
Okay.
So, I just today finished making the sound files to give to Carrie, literally just as she arrived, of the initial tracks that may comprise the best of Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, or Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport Best of 2011 CD that we're going to be putting out at MarsCon. So Carrie,
the last one was so popular.
Yes. You know. Thank you, Carrie. I should just talk about the process, because this year I think it went a lot smoother. It didn't seem quite as arduous a task.
You didn't, like, fall 3 months behind on Mishki because this year?
I'm a few weeks behind on Mishki now, but at least I know I got to a point where I was caught up, you know, at least for a week or so. So now that I've gotten this out of the way, I can get back to getting caught up on all my podcasts, so... but yeah, what I did is I bought this handy dandy little personal voice recorder, so that when I was out and about doing things, you know, going for walks every day at the walking track, or just, you know, out and about my business, even just doing chores around the house, I was listening to these podcast episodes, and whenever I heard something I thought, oh, this might be good to include on the best of, I would pause the player so I could see what time it was at, and then I would get out the recorder and say, you know, episode 57 shmurbity doob doob doob, or whatever thing we had just
episode
said.
Episode 57 wasn't on there.
Yeah. So
because this is episode 57.
Well, this will be on best of 2012 then, because this is a best of moment for sure.
Yes. Oh god.
So, you know, I went through this, you know, went through all the rest of the episodes, because I had started a few months ago, and I got through like the first five or six, but they were kind of done in a notebook all at different times, all haphazardly. Like, it all seemed really disconnected. But recording all these notes on the little recorder, and then later on sitting down and transcribing those notes into a notebook, just made it a lot more organized and uniform. It just helped me kind of set things in my mind better. And with the new computer I got, which is something else I should talk about, it was just, you know, pretty easy to, like, okay, pulling up this episode, you know, 6 minutes in, here's this thing, and then I, you know, highlight that, and then, you know, save selection as, you know, put, you know, have my own little special code to keep track of, it's from this episode, and this is the chronological order it goes in, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, I've put together about 3 hours worth of clips for Carrie to listen to, so she can grade them, and, you know, pick out the stuff she think is she thinks is best, and then I'm going to take her opinions and form it into a CD track listing that makes sense, and get it sent off to CDR guy so that we can have it ready for MarsCon, which is another wrinkle in my life that I haven't told anybody about, is the fact that Mark Burschett, who is the company was originally called CDR Guy. It eventually changed to CD DVD Makers, and a couple other things that he did that have to do with like shipping and packaging.
Who told some people?
Yeah. I don't think I mentioned it on a podcast though, is that, he has decided to close his business, which really sucks because I've been doing all of my CDs and DVDs through him since 2006. So his business was kind of part of my business model. So the fact that he's closing up shop, you know, detrimentally affects my ability to continue making money doing comedy music. It's not like an all hope is lost situation. It just means that now I have to figure out what to do. He said that he was going to give me, all of his, you know, individual business contact infos, like, oh, here's where I got my CD cases, here's where I got my printing done, et cetera, et cetera, so that I could try to DIY this as much as possible, maybe even save some money that way. But, you know, doing that's kind of, there's an inconvenience. Yeah, there's an inconvenience factor to it that I dislike. And the other side of, like, well, the other solution is just find another company to go through. And that's certainly the easy solution. However, with CDR Guy, he and I got into the point in our business relationship where he would let me do very small quantity restock orders. Like, I could order things 50 at a time and he'd still give me a decent rate. Or I could order 50 things, but they would be like, oh, 6 of this album, 7 of that album, 8 of that album, so that I could get these little small batches to restock myself with. And other companies aren't going to do that for me.
No.
You know, the bare minimums on most orders are, I think, 100. Are 100, and if you want a decent price break, you got to get 200 or 300.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, so I'm going to have, I'm going to do a restock order with him because he basically said if I could get orders in by the end of the month, he'd be, you know, able to fulfill those things before he moves on to his next career, which from what he's told me, well, I guess I shouldn't say what it is on the air, but
it's nobody's business.
Yeah, he's found another way to make income, make, you know, a decent living, you know, so I'm glad he's doing that and he's busy preparing for that now. So I'm waiting for him to get back to me. He did get the MarsCon CDs for the fundraiser finished, which I just got and sent off the first batch today. You know, I'm going to do a restock order so I can get about 80 copies of Be Amused By Me and 20 copies of other things. And then the very last thing I'm going to try to do before the 31st is get this Bad Rapport Best of 2011 collection into him so that I can get 50 copies of that. It's personally and professionally, like, damn, that kind of sucks, you know?
Yeah.
You know, big shout out to Mark. So there's that. So anyway, yeah, the whole reason I brought that up is because that's why I'm rushing to get Best of Bad Rapport done now instead of doing it in a month from now. It's like, well, crap, this is the only way I can do it and have Mark be the one who creates it instead of me having to DIY it or some other option.
I'm going
to
get CDs from anymore either.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just have to go all digital.
Well, I don't know. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. We'll see what I've figured out in the meantime.
I've got a lot of things that have come out since Giant Kitten.
Yeah.
It wouldn't take that much more to have an album length.
Yeah. So, I'm just trying to think of other things I can talk about. Here's a personal project I did. Which, you know, I mentioned Dr. D just emailed me. And he emailed me because he just got a package that I sent him. And I'm going to bring this up again when it comes closer to the actual date so that people can be reminded to check this out when he posts it. But back in the days when I used to listen to Dr. Demento in Kansas City, every so often he would do a show where the theme was, you know, here's songs by, you know, well-known rock stars that are kind of funny, you know. So it's like he'd play,
you know, plexiglass toilet by Styx, or, you know, something wacky from Van Halen. The point being, it's like, here's legitimate rock stars doing funny songs. So I emailed him a month or two ago, and I said, you know what, I was thinking about that whole concept. You've never really done a show where it was, you know, rap stars, legitimate rap stars doing funny songs, because rap had a lot of comedy in it, and you never played any of it on your show. You know, I'd be really interested in hearing a show along that theme. And he emailed me back, you know, basically explaining, well, he was, when he was on the terrestrial radio, he was mostly on classic rock stations, and the, you know, general managers of those classic rock stations didn't like him playing a lot of rap music, or at least a lot of, you know, legitimate hip-hop as opposed to, you know,
novelty,
wacky Morning Fred and the Baby Boomer crew. Here's our rap song.
Songs rap. That have rap in the title.
Yeah, you know. So, basically, Barry said that he would be interested in doing a show in which that was the theme, and, you know, would I, you know, I can't remember if he asked or if I offered. It was probably a mixture of both. But basically, I, you know, took it upon myself, I took it upon myself at Dr. D's request to make myself this 3 pages of notes on, you know, going. I basically got out all of the inlays from my rap mix CDs from when I was a kid and made this huge ass list of, you know, songs that I thought, you know, were worthy of Dr. Demento airplay due to their humor factor, and they were all by legitimate rap people.
Yeah.
So CD one, I should mention, originally I was going to ask for other people's input on this, like Devo Spice and my brother and others, but I just hit a point where I thought, you know what, I would kind of rather just get this project finished. I'm sure that, you know,
to do the more time efficient
way. Just because, you know, if I get, I don't want to get, the episode in question will hopefully be posting on March 24th, and I wanted to get the music to him now because I didn't want MarsCon in the aftermath of it to make it be like, oh shit, it's March 20th and I haven't sent him those CDs yet. So I figured I'll get these CDs done now, and hopefully if the show is successful, maybe he'll want to do future episodes. So if Devo says, hey, you forgot to mention blah 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 song, and be like, you know, he could just, you know, shoot that suggestion to Dr. D himself, or to let me know about songs that I missed. But not to get into specific track names, but I sent him 4 CDs. The first was an even split of Fat Boys Digital Underground and songs by Fresh Prince that he had not yet played on his show, because I didn't realize he's only played 4 different Fresh Prince songs on his show, in the history of his show. And the one he plays the most is Nightmare on My Street. So, you know, so I'm like, all right, here's other Fresh Prince songs you haven't played yet. So anyway, disc 1, Fat Boys Digital Underground, Fresh Prince. Disc 2 was Run DMC, Third Bass, LL Cool J, UMTV Raps' Dr. Dre and Ed Lover, and Eminem. Disc 3 was 20 different tracks by 20 different artists, not necessarily, you know, one-hit wonders, but more like, you know, this one track is the best example of this artist being funny or doing something novelty, or they did this song for a movie or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then disc 4, which I kind of considered to be extra, he didn't necessarily have to include this group, but disc 4 was entirely Insane Clown Posse. Because it's like, as much as I love the Fat Boys, it's like when it comes to the ratio of songs that have comedic intent to them, you know, versus, you know, serious or other intent to them, you know, ICP probably takes the crown for having the most attempts at funny songs, you know, and succeeding as well. So I kind of sent him that disc and said, you know, if you don't have the time to get into this group, you know, don't worry about it. Just listen to like track 1 on this disc. You know, and then save the rest for Halloween because they would all be great Halloween songs or something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I'm really, you know, it's such a cool, awesome honor that Barry was, you know, cool enough to suggest this and, you know, do this whole thing. So I'm so totally super psyched to find out what he plays.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So yeah. So probably some of the tracks I'm playing in this episode will be tracks that were in my consideration list to send him but didn't make it for one reason or another, just because I was trying to not send him everything in the world. And, you know, so I'll pick some cool stuff. Actually, one of the songs is going to be a song that was referenced in an earlier Bad Before episode, but I don't think anyone picked up on the reference, so I'm going to play it just so people can hear it. Anyway, was there anything else worth talking about in the What Has Luke Been Up To segment of this show? You know, just...
What's Luke up to now?
Let's see. I'm going to turn my head this way for a second. Fundraiser. Oh, yeah. Table 27. We need more volunteers. I want 6 definite volunteers. Right now I have 3 definite volunteers.
In the past,
and
you've done 4, haven't you?
In the past, I've been trying to get it up to 6 or more.
So the people that are volunteers can see more concerts?
Yeah, basically, generally speaking, the more volunteers we have, the better. We want to have at least 2 people behind the table at all times, preferably 3. So if we had 6 volunteers, that shouldn't be too hard. So we have 3 definite volunteers, which are my brother Michael and Michael and Ian Nixon. We have a couple of
maybes,
you know, so basically I need to get, you know, at least 3 more definitelys in there. So if you would like to help out at the, you know, Table 27 at MarsCon, please drop me an email and let me know that you would like to volunteer. You'll get a free badge for the weekend in exchange for helping out at Table 27, which basically is pretty much only open during the times when the concerts are happening. You set up about a half hour before and you stay open about a half hour after. Anyway, details on that are at the other events page at MarsConDementia.com. But, you know, if you listen to this podcast, you know me well enough just to drop me an email. I wrote vocals. I wrote lyrics for a song that I'm going to record. I'm really psyched about it. So that'll be something you'll hear next month on the Thump. Well, I guess I'll leave that it for now. If I think of other things to talk about, I'll...
Let's play a track.
Let's play a track, and then we'll do News of the Stupid, and then we'll talk about things after News of the Stupid.
Ooh, I've been practicing in my mind. Cast the vibes, the beggar and the ragtime. Cast the vibes, cast the vibes. Cause it's Lucas with a little... Cast the vibes, cast the vibes. Oh, cause it's Lucas with a little zap, 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 zap.
Watch me now, hear me now.
Watch me now.
Oh, whatever bubbles, bubbles up.
Rock up on me, rock up on me, no.
Whatever bubbles, bubbles up.
Rock up on me, rock up on me, no.
Whatever bubbles, bubbles up.
Rock up on me, rock up on me, no.
Whatever bubbles, bubbles up.
I'm gonna make a run, I'm gonna make it all.
Strike the right chord and I'll rap, rap my skull cap electric until I blow my top off. I wrap my lyrics right around the globe, I lay lows and all bit by bit. I make it fit cause I'm hitting it myself, the gathering whatever split for my format. And after that, I never stay the same, I treat defeat like a doormat. Jump around on, I'm in the spread poetic and fatty already. Open, open, open up your skull cap and let it ring, let it ring, let it ring, let it drain. I'm too cool to have a good time, but really I'm a muted trumpet type of talk away. Hey, 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 move to the front, take it off, catch the vibes. Cause it's Lucas with a little, catch the vibes, catch the vibes. Oh, cause it's Lucas with a little, catch the vibes, catch the vibes. Oh, cause it's Lucas with a little, zap, 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 zap. Whatever bubbles, bubbles up.
Rock up on me, rock up on me, no.
Whatever bubbles, bubbles up.
Rock up on me, rock up on me, no.
Whatever bubbles, bubbles up.
Rock up on me, rock up on me, no.
Whatever bubbles, bubbles up.
Rock up on me, rock up on me, no.
Up to my brain, I got the lid off. My chest, I got my nut off. The type of spirit that could break your brain with. The same body, and I stay the same. Hear the voice of summer. Sound
as I sat down. But once I got up on my melody, it represents the type of flow I kick. When my tongue is swinging like a drumstick of a jazzy type of lick. Everybody's got the lid on tight, and they afraid of what might be looking right behind and out of safety. So undo yourself and watch my vibe go out of my little chimney. But don't repeat my voice to the beat.
When you hear the track again, make up your own words, cause the rhythm is the conduit to break a split from the homegrown. The well-known is on to the unknown. See everyone to find the crack a microphone about to get hooked up. I let, look up, I let, look up, I let whatever bubbles up. I can spread the vibes and illuminate the sky. Cause it's Lucas with the lid on, it's Lucas with the lid on, it's Lucas with the lid on. Come on and take the lid off.
What's
the
noise?
And now it's time for
News of the Stupid!
Created by Devo Spice, visit DevoSpice.com. Reported by the internet from all over the world. And submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid.
This is either really stupid or really ingenious, depending on your point of view. Authorities say a Lynn, Massachusetts woman bought $64 worth of soda using a stolen welfare benefits card, then immediately fed the full cans into the supermarket's automated redemption machine for the nickel deposit. Tina Caffarelli of Lynn pleaded not guilty to charges including larceny, property destruction, and receiving stolen property. She was ordered held on $250 bail. Police tell the Daily Item that the electronic benefits card Caffarelli used to buy the 18 12-packs of soda had another person's name on it. The supermarket manager says the full cans caused extensive damage to the redemption machine. The 36-year-old Caffarelli could not be reached for comment. It's quite sad to see a welfare recipient with a bad Coke habit.
Mexico City police say they have arrested a would-be bandit who rode his skateboard to bank robbery attempts. Police say Sergio Ledesma and his skateboard have been turned over to prosecutors after he allegedly attempted to rob two banks by whispering threats to tellers. Police say the teller at the first bank simply acted as if he hadn't heard Ledesma, who then skated off to a second bank. The second teller told police Ledesma appeared to whisper a threat, so the teller set off a silent alarm and counted out the money while the would-be robber waited patiently. Police said Friday Ledesma was still waiting when they arrived and arrested him. Ledesma was not brought up on drug charges for his smoking use of a half pipe.
Police say a man tried to rob a Western Pennsylvania gambling parlor by threatening to spread a staph infection. Online court records don't list an attorney for 41-year-old Fred Parker of Cool Spring Township. Police say he walked into Lucky's Internet Cafe in Sharon on Monday night and began touching the walls and gambling machines, claiming he has MRSA, a serious staph infection that resists antibiotics. Sharon Police Chief Mike Menster says Parker then threatened to infect the cashier if he didn't give Parker money. The chief tells the Herald newspaper of Sharon, "It's our first case of robbery by threat of an infectious disease." Police say Parker left when the cashier refused, but was arrested a short time later based on his description. Parker remained in jail Wednesday. They should have seen this coming. Usually an internet cafe is prepared to deal with a virus alert.
And finally, a Utah school district has decided against using cougars as a mascot for a new high school, in part because of the negative connotation of the word in popular culture. Canyon School District Superintendent David S. Doty says the selection of Chargers as mascot was driven by the desire for originality, despite a poll of some future students that showed 26% in favor of using the cougar. At least three Utah schools, including Brigham Young University, use cougar as a mascot. Doty says public comments reflect a desire to be different, but he also notes that some see the word cougar as carrying a negative double entendre. The term cougar in popular culture can refer to women in their 40s who have sex with younger men. The University of Wisconsin women's basketball team, the Milwaukee Milfs, were unavailable for comment.
People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
Rat shit, bat shit, dirty old twat. 69 assholes tied in a knot. Hooray! Lizard shit, fuck!
This has been News of the Stupid. You know that Brigham Young University mentioned?
Yeah.
Which is not the one a story was about. That's a Mormon school.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a presence in Honolulu, or in Hawaii also. And they, like, run the Polynesian Cultural Center.
Weird.
So, like, all of these people of all of these different, who are legitimately of all of these different cultures, you know, Hawaiian and the other five that escape me right now because I'm totally out of it. They're all, you know, Mormons. Because if you go to Brigham Young University, you have to be a Mormon.
Wow.
I was just mentioning that because I think you said on the Funk podcast that you know nothing about Mormonism, and I really kind of don't either, but Josh knows more than I do. He has Mormon friends. Actually, one of the people that showed up to the baby shower is Mormon. And yeah.
So, okay, so in re-listening to podcasts, you know, of bad rapport, listening to the one where we went over all the Teenage Comedian stuff, and then the Gnom Productions song got brought up, and then, you know, you guys, Carrie said, oh, you should play it, so I did.
Yes.
Okay. So, having re-listened to that song, you know, it brought back a lot of positive memories, because, you know, I miss those guys, and those were really fun days for me, but something also kind of stuck with me listening to it, and that's the fact that, you know, I wrote that song, what was that, 99? Or no, maybe it was after 90, it was before 2002, so it was, anyway, here's the point. The point is that I wrote that song in the same style I write all my rap songs, which is basically trying to copy the rhythm and the syncopation and the rhyme scheme so that what I'm writing matches what, you know, the way the rappers said it and intonated it earlier. So
I should have known you would bring this up.
So going around the country, you know, the countryside, because some friends lived in Toledo, some lived in the Twin Cities, or, you know, various parts of Wisconsin, or, you know,
Michigan.
Yeah. And at the time I was living in Kansas City. So I literally had to go all over the place to, you know, record all of their individual parts and then put them together in this one thing to release on the Forgotten Fishheads album. So, you know, it's not like I'm saying it was their responsibility to have listened to the song Self-Destruction tons of times to, like, you know, memorize how that song sounds and feels. But there was definitely, like, some people who I thought were doing a really shitty job. And I can't figure out if they were doing a shitty job willingly or they were honestly making their best attempt and just failing. You know,
people do shitty jobs on recordings on purpose?
If they're annoyed with my continual obnoxious, you know, like, oh, you gotta do this thing that I want! Do this thing! And then they go along with it just to shut me up. Perhaps they will do a shitty job on purpose.
I doubt it, Luke.
So anyway, I just kind of went through and I kind of graded, you know, everybody's performance in the Gnome production song. So I gave myself an A, you know, which to me is just kind of like saying, well, I wrote the song, I knew how it was supposed to go. It's not like I'm, you know, anyway.
Hey, there's some of my songs where I wouldn't give my performance an A.
Yeah. So Daniel Robinson, he had a short bit, but he did all right. I gave him a B+. Zach Gilly, I gave him a C-. I think he was probably making an effort to do well, but it was like he was doing. Yeah, I gave him the Kool Moe Dee verse, and like Kool Moe Dee has a real specific, you know, Kool Moe Dee. It's like he's the real, you know, an intonation in his voice and the way he says things and the way he accents the accented syllables is really specific, and he was just not matching, you know, like the last line of that verse was supposed to be,
own every CD by the ICP, and I'm chilling on the stage with Great Luke Ski here at Gnome Productions. And I think he said something like, you know, I own every CD by the ICP, and I'm chilling on the stage with Great Luke Ski down here. No, but it was just like,
And not all of these people are performers, Luke.
He played Riff Raff in the Rocky Horror Picture Show in Toledo for several years.
That doesn't count as being a performer.
Anyway, he was a juggalo. He should have known. Anyway, I doubt Zach will ever hear this, but Zach, I love you, and I want to talk to you again, so contact me. Trisha Mansky, I gave her a B, because she seemed to have a pretty decent handle of what I was trying to do. And she tripped up a couple of times, mainly just because she was laughing at what was going on. So it was kind of like that whole thing in Thor's Silver Hammer where you laughed on purpose, except she was laughing not on purpose. But it sounded good, so I left it in. Hmm. My brother Michael Sienkowski and his best friend Brody Railton, I gave them both an A because they were just right on, because they were doing like a back and forth thing. You know, and they just did it freaking perfectly. So they ruled. Raymond P. Whalen, I gave him a B minus, because I don't know. He was putting energy into it, but part of me still to this day kind of feels like he was being sarcastic, like trying to pick on me for being stupid and corny and geeky or something. Like for example, well,
he is a Minnesota guy.
When I asked him to play Keanu Reeves for my DVD concert, I gave him a bunch of instructions of what I wanted him to do before we filmed the DVD thing, and in the basic sense, you know, it worked because, you know, it came out well. I even put it on the Greatest Hits, the audio from that on Greatest Hits. But the specific instructions I gave him backstage, he virtually completely ignored. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as we got off stage, you know, him, you know, he was there and he's like, did you like the part where I completely ignored everything you said and just did what I wanted? And it's like, yeah, that was fucking great, Ray. And it's like, it's like, sometimes I want people to be wacky and off the wall, but there are occasions where it's like, hey, I have specific instructions here and I would appreciate it if you guys follow them. And, you know, not, Jason and Ray didn't always follow my instructions because they thought it was funnier to do things their way. And I'm not saying they were always wrong, but, you know, when it comes to filming a DVD, I kind of felt like, you know, he should have respected me, you know, a bit.
Yeah.
You know, anyway. My brother JT, I gave him an A because, you know, he's a DJ. He's a rapper. Well, he's not really a rapper, but he's a DJ and enough of a rapper to know how to do it right. So, Jason Stahl, I gave an A minus. he did a decent job. Brandon Bolin, whose nickname was Fanboy, I gave him a B plus. He wasn't perfect, but he had such enthusiasm. He was so positive. He was so psyched to be on this song that it just meant the world to him. I remember recording with him, and he was just kind of like over the four-track recorder, just like he couldn't even sit down and be still. Like, he had to be up and be moving because mm-hmm. he was so psyched to be in the song. And then I did myself as Kazi. I gave myself an A there, but again, that was more stupid, corny crap. Bill Anstead, Bossa Nova Bill, my friend from the Twin Cities, who I love and adore, and his wife is awesome, and his kids are awesome.
Oh, yeah, I've met them.
Yeah, I gave Bill an F.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is he the one who
yeah.
sounds really bad?
Yeah, he's like, you know, and a lard cassette, and a bit, and a no mama set, and a bit. It was like so, it was so not what I wanted. But, you know, and again, I wasn't sure if that was a failing of knowing what I wanted him to do, or if it was him just like, I'm just going to do something, and he's just going to have to take this take, and whatever. And then the song ends with Jason and Ray going back and forth as their Ray TV characters, the A-Man and Son of Sarah Lee. And I gave the A-Man, Ray, a C-minus, and Son of Sarah Lee a B-plus.
Didn't Bill Putz say he's in this song?
Well, yeah, the choruses where it's just a large group of people saying, Gnome Productions, we're working for Gnome Productions. That part was recorded at the Luke Ski Con 98 party Labor Day weekend at my place in Kansas City in 1998. So there's a group of people singing that, and Bill's one of them.
Ah.
So anyway, I just wanted to mention all that just for the sake of posterity. And to all my friends, if any of you hear this, I hope I didn't hurt your feelings with what I said here just now. But
they're not listening.
Yeah, but I just kind of felt like,
you know, I needed to, I needed to defend my work because I don't really, it would be pointless for me to get it, try to hunt down that background track and re-record the entire song with me doing all the vocals just to point out, see, this is the way I meant it to be, you know, so the hell with it.
You're very anal.
I'm proud of the lyrics I wrote. I mean,
you're anal.
Okay, We Are the Fump. How awesome is We Are the Fump?
It's awesome.
Well, that's because people in We Are the Fump followed my instructions and, you know, and in many cases improved upon my instructions, you know. Like I love listening to at the end of when the final chorus kicks in and people are kind of saying things in the background, and I asked Jared Ringel to sing the line "Take Back the Music." Jared adjusted it so that he's singing in the correct key with the song, which sounds awesome. It's so great. I love hearing that because I just sang it in the original notes in the thing I posted for everyone to listen to. And then he's like, that's wrong. I will change the key. And now it's much better because he's a professional. God damn it. Anyway, do you have a topic to talk about?
I don't know. I just thought I should backpedal a little bit and apologize for making a crack about Minnesota guys. Because we do have some Minnesota guys that listen, and, you know, I'm a Minnesota girl, and, you know, every time I've dated or attempted to date any guy from Minnesota, I just found it to be impossible, and that there it was just kind of a pattern with, you know, guys in Minnesota that, you know, didn't keep with guys that aren't from Minnesota.
Well, in what way? They're snarky. They're attitude?
I'm not gonna elaborate. I'm just gonna say, okay. You know, I've been burned by enough Minnesota guys to, you know, lump them into a category and shoot a laser at them.
Okay,
but I mean, you know, it's not really actually called for. So
okay. Well, I say many things that are uncalled for on this podcast, and then we put them on a CD, and then four people buy it, if we're lucky.
If we beg. Yeah, it'll be harder because you won't have me there to help you beg people to buy it, the new one, so probably less people will buy it.
Yes.
But you can talk about my baby and, you know.
Yes.
Maybe we can have some sort of baby-related... some sort of product, like, related to my baby that, you know, like a picture or something where you only get it if you buy the CD.
On one of Weird Al's albums, if you have the disc in your computer and you, like, it brings up, like, an interactive menu screen where you have, like, different options of things you can watch or do or view or whatever, there's, like, an Easter egg that if you hit the space bar, it brings up a photo of Al and his wife, Suzanne, when she was pregnant. So it's, like... like huge pregnant belly.
Uh-huh.
It's a really good picture.
So. Yeah.
Anyway, should I talk about another thing, or should we put in a song here and then do the end stuff for the show?
Pause it and let's find out what that thing is.
What thing? Oh, that thing. Okay.
I want to know what topic you want to bring up.
Oh, all right.
I see guys and girls dancing.
Now as the record spins around, you recognize this sound, well it's the underground. You know that we're down with what you like, with what you like.
And though we're usually on a serious tip, check it out. Tonight we're gonna flip and trip and let it all hang out tonight. We're gonna say what we like.
Cause yo, we wanna know how many people in the flow would like to just let yourselves go and do what you like. What's tonight's your night? Just eat food, try not to be crude or rude. Kill the attitude, chill the serious mood and do what you like. And do what you like. Everybody do what you like.
I see guys and girls dancing.
Yeah, but do what you like.
I see guys and girls dancing.
Just do what you like.
I see guys and girls dancing.
Yo, go where you like.
I see guys and girls dancing.
I mean, rich, poor, high, low, or upper middle class. Let's all get together and have a few laughs and do what we like. And do what we like. And since you came here, you gotta show and prove. And do that dance until it don't move. Do what you like. Sometimes I bite.
Now, if you're hungry, get yourself something to eat. And if you're dirty,
then go take a bath. Messed up the line? Nope, sometimes I don't rock. Help yourself to a cracker with a spread of cheddar cheese. Have a neck bone. You don't have to say please. Eat what you like. Yo, smell how you like.
Everybody do what you like.
See guys and girls dancing.
Do what you like.
See guys and girls dancing.
Yo, do what you like. You know what I'm saying?
See guys and girls
whatever you like to do. Talk how you like.
Girls
just act a fool. It's okay if you drool, cause everybody's gonna strip and jump in the pool and do what we like. And do what we like.
Homegirls, for once, forget you got class. See a guy you like? Just grab him in the biscuits.
And do what you like. No red, white, tan, black, yellow, or brown. It really doesn't matter, we could all get down and do what we like. And do what we like. From a pigskin Yankee to a blue black southerner, ditch digger or governor, just do what you like. Look how you like.
Now don't you know we're getting busy, we can't be corrected. Shay fair, have to be deaf, I say what I like. Like I said, sometimes we bite, even though you don't think it's right. Yo, I like to bite. Just having fun, y'all, and if you think it is wrong, you got to admit, it's a new type of song.
Do what you like.
Girls dancing.
Yeah, do what you like.
I see guys and girls dancing.
Yo, go where you like.
Go where you like.
I see guys and girls dancing.
Yo, do who you like.
I see guys.
All right, here we go,
dancing.
Y'all. Do what you like. Talk how you like. Drink what you like. Grab who you like. Feel what you like. Eat what you like. Scratch where you like. Itch if you like. Go where you like, kid.
A brief announcement to all radio DJs. If this record is currently being played at your station, we will provide the following time for you to announce your station identification. We'd also like to add that we've now reached the 3.5 minute mark of the song. Radio stations may begin your fade here. For those that would like help, we will start your fade for you. Now, if this record is being played at a club, disco, lounge, house, basement, or block party, car stereo, stoop, or at any other social gathering, we will now allow the beat to continue and proceed to give you more of what you like. This message has been brought to you by the makers of The Way We Swing and the Underground Talk How You Like Posse.
I feel like a nice big bowl of cereal. Icy cold milk.
Look, I told you, kid, eat what you like, okay?
Now the beat goes on to the break of dawn. I just peep this, y'all, cause we're singing the song. I do what you like. Yeah, I do what you like. And since you came here, you gotta show and prove. And do that dance until the dough move. But do what you like. Like I said, sometimes we bite.
Now we're all getting stupid and acting a fool. Anything that you really wanna do is cool. So go fingers. Cut what you like.
Let me tell you who I am. Austin.
If you're hungry, then get yourself something to eat. And if you're dirty, then go take a bath.
And do what you like. Stetson Sonic suggests for the hip-hop fan. And since we're not your average everyday rap band, your piano man. Play how you like. Everybody's gonna strip and jump in the pool. And, wait a minute.
Don't take your clothes off yet. Not yet. Wait till we get home.
Now, if you wear corrective shoes and you got big onions, toenails smell and look like onions. Don't do what you like. Go see a foot doctor tonight.
Everybody do what you like. Do what you like. Just do what you like.
Do what you like, y'all.
Everybody do what you like.
Straight hair curl, casual or glamour.
A shy girl, or loud like Obama.
From Connecticut, or from Louisiana.
Bad table etiquette, too much chatter.
Very well spoken, a real bad grammar.
A minority token, a brother in the slammer.
A free civilian with a house in Santa Ana.
If you got a million and live in Atlanta.
If you got a weak bladder, I can't climb a ladder.
What we're saying is it really doesn't matter.
I need a word that sounds like Anna.
Slipped on a peel of banana, do what you like.
Yeah, cold getting stupid. Once again, you got the sound of the underground. Yeah, baby boy. Dope is in the house.
Boy.
Yeah, are we putting things in check, baby D?
Two super
I'm with it.
Yay.
Yo, Dave, let's show him some old school.
It makes no sense just standing around. Come on, everybody, let's all. Yeah, and do what we like.
And from a lime to a lemon. A lemon to a lime. Come on, young ladies, let's have.
And do what we like. Now I can sing, I can dance, I'm the king of romance. All you sweet young ladies gonna give me a chance to do what you like and get that thing packed tonight. Vanessa Williams, oh you're so divine. Just wanted to put your name in my rhyme. I do what you like. Yeah. Everybody do what you like.
I'm gonna just go to the back room right now, okay? Just me.
Yeah.
Oh, don't take your clothes off. If you're fat, hungry, dirty, and need to take a bath, go wash your feet. Just bugging in the place to be. You got the sound of Shock G. Alright.
In the record, how we like.
Okay, so we decided not to talk about that thing. So we're moving on to the end of the show stuff. So,
what's Luke plugging now?
Oh, yeah.
What's at the fump? What's at that fump? At the fump right now, you can download. Look directly at the floating polystyrene head. Polystyrene Head by Kobe LaCroix. You Rich Motherfucker by Steve Goody. Here I Am with President Romney 2012 version by Robert Lund and Spaff.com. Friday the 13th featuring Shy Show by Devo Spice. Men Friends by Flat 29. Really Cool Wig by Lemon Demon. Love Connection Jazz version by Carla Ulbrich. And Hey Birthday Boy by Insane Ian. I want to play that Carla Ulbrich song sometime. Thought it was really cool.
Oh, okay. Let me write that down. Where's my notes?
I don't need these notes. Hey!
What is it called? Love Connection?
Love Connection Jazz version. Not that she has any other version that I know of.
Alright. And we should also plug, because it just came down the internet tubes into our faces, Flat 29's new album, Secret Handshake, has just been released over at their Bandcamp page. So go to flat29.com or, you know, their Bandcamp page, whatever that is, and download Secret Handshake for only £7.99, or whatever that is in America money. You know,
America money,
and I just got announced just before Carrie and I started recording. So I sent a message to the guys asking them if we could play. There's a new track on the album, and they said yes. So I'm going to play that track as the last track on this show because it has a finality to it. So it belongs at the end of a thing.
Yes.
So yeah. So please go get Secret Handshake by Flat 29. It's a MP3 album. What am I trying to say? They're eventually planning going. They're planning to make it a physical CD that you can purchase. So I do want to get that once that's available. But for now, you can get the MP3 version. As I mentioned before, there's the MarsCon Dementia Track 2012 fundraiser album. You can get that at MarsConDementia.com.
I think last show you decided not to do a rundown.
Of what?
Of the MarsCon performers or whatever.
Oh, okay.
If you wanted to this show, you can, because we have some extra time.
Well, I think the reason why I didn't last time is because I knew that I was going to post the free preview, which was the previous thing on this podcast. So if they all download and listen to the free preview, they've kind of heard the whole big glut of information and, you know, eight okay. different songs, you know. So if somehow you have not listened to episode 56.5, the MarsCon 2012 Dementia Track fundraiser preview thingy, go listen to that. It's 33 minutes long. It's got eight songs, and it's full of information about MarsCon. So check it out. But as we said, yeah, MarsCon 2012 Dementia Track fundraiser album, available at MarsConDementia.com in the fundraiser shop. The 3-CD version is that comes with an MP3 download is $30, or you can get just the MP3 download for $20. So please help us out. We hit our initial goal. Now we're trying to hit our goal that covers other expenses. So the hotel money has been earned, but the money for the other stuff has not been earned. And we'll go more into that on the Fumpcast. But yeah, please check it out. And of course, MarsCon 2012 itself, don't miss it. It is super awesome.
I'm going to miss it.
You're only allowed to miss it if you're having a baby.
or if you're helping someone with having a baby.
Yes. So yeah, Consortium of Genius, Sea Monkey, The Boobles, Spaff, Lukeski, Devo Spice, Worm Quartet, Power Salad, Cirque du Soleil, What, The Gothicals, Possible, Oscar, TV's Kyle, Dino Mike, The Dementia Fan Showcase, hosted by DJ Particle, The Fump Jukebox with Beth Kinderman, Jeff Rubin, Derwood Bowen, you know, and I'm sure more wackiness and fun to be had. Dementia SmackDown Wrestling, Saturday Night at Midnight, people fighting for the title. It's going to be awesome. So MarsConDementia.com for all the information on that. MarsCon.org or MarsCon.com to order your badge. The cutoff date for pre-regging is January 31st, so we got a few days left to buy a badge. Or if you want to get a free badge, you could volunteer for Table 27 that I mentioned earlier. Please contact me, thegreatlukeski@gmail.com, if you want to do that. Have you heard this week's Manic Mondays?
Yes.
Devo, that little bastard.
I can't remember what you're referring to, though.
He took the last Fump the last Fumpcast episode, which included which included the 3.5 minute version.
That was awesome.
Yeah, and he just edited together every time I said the word MarsCon into one big long
thing.
That
was hilarious.
And I hadn't heard it because I've been busy working on the bad report things. So I got a message from Devo today, like chat message. He's like, "Are you mad at me?" I'm like, "No, why?" He's like, I type back, "I haven't listened to Manic Mondays," and he's like, "Oh, well, there's a thing in there," and I started listening to it, and I thought it was funny, you know. So, what do we usually plug? I don't know, things. I have a website.
You're going
buy
to Deep
shit.
South Con.
Oh yeah, well, Deep South Con's kind of far off.
I don't care. It's probably my next con. So.
Actually, there is another con that needs to be mentioned.
I told Josh that Deep South Con is, you know, other than family or like Michigan trips, you know, Deep South Con is like my only priority for 2012 for trying to get out of town. So hopefully we can make it happen.
Well, just to MarsCon is March 9th through 11th at the Crown Plaza Hotel and Suites in Bloomington, Minnesota, which is, you know, the Twin Cities. So just to make that clear in case somehow you didn't already know that. Before that is Capricorn 32, which is in the Chicagoland area, Wheeling, Illinois, to be specific, at the Westin Chicago North Shore, February 9th through 12th, 2012. And I'm going to be doing a concert there on Saturday afternoon at 4:45 p.m. in Capricorn Cafe. So it'll be a 45-minute show. And I think I might be doing something else that day with Matt or something. I can't remember exactly what it is, but it'll be Saturday of that weekend.
I probably won't be there because I don't feel like paying for a badge.
Yeah. That's understandable. So the thing Carrie wants me to talk about is Deep South Con 50 is in Huntsville, Alabama, June 15th through 17th, 2012. The website is dsc50huntsville.com. dsc50huntsville.com. So the special media guest of honor is Dr. Demento. And performing at Deep South Con, as well as him doing a presentation, will be me, Devo Spice, Worm Quartet, Power Salad, Tom Smith, Rob Balder, Carla Ulbricht, Steve Goody, Nuclear Bubble Wrap, and Danny Burt. And if Carrie is able to make it there, I will work her into my show. And also that's going to be where the second ever Logan Awards will be held there.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's another reason to make it out to Deep South Con. So those are the only conventions I can completely say I am booked at. Other conventions I might be booked at in the future include MarCon in Columbus, DuckCon in Chicago, Convergence in the Twin Cities, Nerdapalooza in Orlando, Gen Con Indy in Indianapolis, WorldCon in Chicago, and Archon in St. Louis, and I assume WindyCon, but
That's right. You brought up WorldCon to me. It's Labor Day weekend, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's that's
kind of got to remember that.
It's basically if as much as I want you to perform with me at WorldCon, if they say that you have to buy a badge to go, then you're not going to go to WorldCon, because neither you or I are going to be willing to pay that much money for you to come perform with me.
I didn't say I wasn't willing. I might be willing just so I can spend the weekend at WorldCon.
The pre-reg for WorldCon has one of their tiered cutoff dates on January 31st. So if you buy it by January 31st, a weekend badge is $190.
Oh, is that all?
So.
Yeah, I wouldn't say, you know, I definitely won't be there or anything like that. It's not like I have to travel for it or get a hotel room or anything.
So, yeah, there's a very good chance I'm going to have to buy my badge to get in there. Anyway. But the point is, I'm making a genuine attempt to be there and perform at it, because I've always wanted to perform at a WorldCon. So I'm psyched.
I probably won't be at C2E2 since it's, you know, a lot closer to when the baby's just born and I'm still trying to get acclimated.
But I tried to get booked at C2E2 and my initial attempt seems to have gotten an answer of no. Anyway, plugging things. What shade of pink are you wearing, Carrie?
I'm wearing buttons.
You're wearing the same pink sweatshirt you've been wearing a lot lately because it's...
And the buttons are there because I'm expressing myself, a.k.a. because I'm covering up little stains so I look like I'm expressing myself instead of looking like a slob.
Okay, do you want to describe these buttons?
I got a couple Cake Rex buttons, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, one that says music equals life, and I don't remember where I got that or why. One that says princess and has a fairy princess, one that says happy ranch, and one that says the boobles. And as I drop more food on myself, I'll add more buttons.
Cool. Well, I don't have any ignorant stories, so we can go with comments. I'll read the first one.
Okay.
It is from Onib, and Onib says, I can sympathize with the mom role thing. My wife suffered under the same curse, and I think that's what mostly soured her on any attempt to continue acting in the community after she finished high school. Luke is definitely not the only one who remembers Sledgehammer TV show. I always got a kick out of it as a kid and loved all the romantic bits between him and his gun. But then again, I have fond memories of Manimal, so my taste may be suspect.
You're not doing a very good staged reading of these.
Do you remember the show Manimal?
No.
I do.
I've heard of it. That's about it. Carrie Dalby says, we first met October 25th, 2003, not 2004, as stated in the podcast. Also, this episode was recorded January 11th, 2012, not 2011. Please update the year on the outline, Luke.
Okay.
Now, more enthusiasm, please.
Captain Nova says, the game Boobstry we call Eat Poop You Cats! Would love to play it with the gang at MarsCon! There. Now be Ian.
Insane Ian says, I frickin' loved Sledgehammer as a kid, and I never got a chance to comment on the previous episode, but I felt the title should have been Goat in the Moment, as you said that more often. But that sounds like the title of a TV's Kyle song. Luke?
Shut up, Ian. Kyle Hudson says, in the last couple of episodes, you've hit on a couple of shows that have phrases my family uses frequently. Last episode's was Yukon Cornelius. Whenever we have thick fog, it's always, this fog's as thick as peanut butter! This week's is from Sledgehammer. The sergeant was chewing out Sledge again and calling him a chauvinist, that he thought violence was the answer to everything, etc. Sledge says, is that why you called me in here? Just to shower me with compliments? Thanks for another fun show.
Brickman Z says, I loved hearing the idea of Boob Tree. I thought there was an official game of it under a more PC name, but I can't think of the name off the top of my head. Regarding The Music Man, it's one of my favorite musicals, especially since my family was involved in two productions of it. The second one with my dad is Harold Hill. The song you were thinking of, Carrie, that Marion and Harold sang and swapped, was a slight reprise of Till There Was You and 76 Trombones. Yes, that is correct.
Yep. And Slightly D says, I should have known better... Oh, wait, let me respond. Apparently there is some kind of, like, boxed board game version of, you know, what we are currently calling Boob Tree.
Yeah, I can't remember the name.
Yeah, but it's like, you don't really need to buy a boxed version of it. You just need cards and pencils.
Yeah.
Or pens.
You just need paper. You don't even need cards.
You need pencils or pens.
Yeah, but I always have pencils or pens.
So, Slightly D says, I should have known better knowing the subject and it's... I should have known better knowing the subject and that it's an explicit podcast, but a not-safe-for-work tag on the second Boob Tree stack would have been nice. All I can think of when Luke talks about Be Amused by Me as being the end of an era is, Luke's going to take the dementia to a whole new level. Number 27, burp. Number 27, burp. Number 27, burp. Carry slap. Make the music/art you want, not the music/art your fans want. You'll get better results, and you'll attract the fans that want what you want to make. So, thank you, Slightly D.
Okay. And we have a letter?
Yeah, we have a letter from Julie Whelan Capel. And
do you want me to read it?
You can read it if you wish to read things that are read.
Hi, Luke and Carrie. I am enjoying listening to the podcast, although I just finished number 49, so I'm a bit behind. I did want to say that hearing Luke talk about the Gen Con costume contest was very interesting. I know it has been frustrating for you the past couple of years. There's, of course, no way of knowing why people are leaving, short of doing a survey as they exit. But don't you think part of it is that people are trying to get to a 6 p.m. gaming slot? I like some of Luke's ideas for changing how we introduce you so that it is more of a surprise to the audience. I also wonder if you should do more of your stand-up routines at Gen Con. I don't think people know you do that, too. You do that, too?
I haven't done that. I mean, unless she's talking about you might be a Trekkie. Yeah. You know, it's like, I don't make stand-up a regular part of my thing. I'll do in-between songs, shticking and talking to the audience at shows where I feel like I have the time to, you know, be that lax about
and,
it. But
and Julie's an announcer at Gen Con.
She's the MC most years.
So you guys know, in case you didn't know. Julie goes on, anyway, I think in the podcast, you guys asked for listener reactions to the different things you two discuss. Since I've only listened to 3 or 4 of the podcasts all the way through, I may not be entirely clear on what things you are doing regularly and what things you only do once in a while. So please take my comments with that in mind. Here are some of my reactions. I like the discussion of the new TV season. I think you should do that. You two should do that more often. I don't keep up with TV, though, personally. She goes on, you also spend a lot of time talking about movies. That is fun to hear as well. I just read a great article in the New York Times about what makes a satisfying film, and it occurs to me that it would be interesting to hear you two talk about the article. Here's a link. So now we're going to go read an article.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
We'll be right back after this article.
He was God's gift to women, you can ask him yourself. Little black books piling up on the shelf, long cool hair and a bad attitude. Absolutely. be sure he was one hot dude. I was a little put off by our first meeting and our second and third with your frosty greeting. But I was rewarded for all this rejection when I saw you get dumped on the Love Connection. TV, playing guitar, drinking JB. Well, I was back from California, feeling down in the dumps. What I saw next pulled me out of my slump. There they were, three women, three men. Couldn't believe my eyes when I saw you among them, competing for the prize, a red hot date, and fame among people who stay up real late. Well, you stood real cocky and you flipped your hair, waited for your chance to be put on the air. You answered your questions and you thought you impressed. All the host had to say was next. I was a little put off by our first meeting and our second and third with your frosty greeting. But I was rewarded for all this rejection when I saw you get dumped on the Love Connection. Yeah. People's harm. Just for a moment I believed in karma. Well, you didn't get the date with the dame, but I hope you enjoyed your 5 seconds of fame. Maybe they should call the show Love Disaster. Now I am sure that the guests aren't actors. So from the story I searched for a lesson, took a look at your self-expression. I guess even total jerks have a need for affection. All this I learned from the Love Connection. Yeah.
Okay, so
we just read a New York Times article by Carrie Rickey, published on January 13th, 2012, about producer Lindsay Doran.
Yes, and again, this was a link sent to us by Julie Whelan Capel.
We should post the link in the show notes.
Sure. And so basically the article is about her research into movies that, you know, basically, movies that portray positive things versus negative things. Is that...
That's a way to sum it up, I guess.
Okay, well, how would you sum it up?
That's a perfectly good way.
Okay.
I would sum it up as saying, I don't want to be the one to sum it up.
All right. Well, basically... This is, as it always seems to be with me, this is an excuse for me to talk about the Muppets. Because we never really did a full-on review of the film The Muppets, you know, I think we talked about it quickly and generally. I mean, I went into it in more in depth on the Scope podcast, but we didn't really talk about it here. But the thing I loved about the film The Muppets is that after years of entertainment, even, you know, comedy entertainment, where everything is based on kind of snark and negativity and cynicism and, you know, negative characters and shitty attitudes, and, you know, it's like, it was so refreshing just to be like, yes, we are doing a Muppet film. It is a musical. It's full of wonderful, joyous, positive characters, and it has wonderful, joyous, positive statements. And if you don't like it, we honestly don't care. We're doing this thing, and we mean it at face value.
Yeah.
So
we mean it non-ironically.
You know, yeah. And I you know, and it's at least part of the reason I felt perfectly comfortable seeing that film in the theater 5 times. You know, and I just found out that it's coming out on DVD on March 20th. So,
and Blu-ray?
Yeah, it's actually, they have a Blu-ray / DVD / digital download copy / audio soundtrack.
Wow.
Is the combo pack they're doing. So so yeah, it's like, you know, movies where there's, you know, positive things happening and positive characters and people achieving goals and accomplishing goals, you know, especially when it's goals that they're doing with a group or a family or, you know, some support system. It's like, you know, yes, I like all those kind of things, you know?
I have some deeper thoughts, I think. I, on one hand, okay, I don't like the way, you know, American cinema literally will edit to change endings to make them happier, such as the American edit of the Rocky Horror Picture Show that does not include the song Superheroes because the song Superheroes is too bleak. You know, it's not like they gave the movie a happy ending per se, but, you know, it's still, they took out like the bleakest part of the movie because it was too much for Americans. And I don't like that at all. I don't like being pandered to. You know, if you want to make your movie with a negative, downer, bummer ending, then fucking make it that way. You know, but on the other hand, you know, I really love, you know, movies that, you know, that are really feel good, you know, particularly The Shawshank Redemption. Although now, thanks to this article, I no longer have to see The King's Speech because I already know how it ends. I guess maybe everybody else already knew, but I didn't know.
Well, I haven't seen it, but I didn't have any plans to see it.
Well, I was going to see The King's Speech while eating a juicy peach, of course. But,
You could have rhymed something else and not put yourself on that path of having to see the film.
Shut up. I wasn't the one who wrote that line. Anyways, I actually gravitate towards happy movies and happy music because I'm not a naturally happy person. I tend towards depression and, you know, emo-ness and macabre, morbid brain and, you know, worrying about apocalypses and just generally, you know, I literally counter that with, you know, trying to watch more comedies or uplifting movies that are uplifting at the end, or comedy music, you know, because I'm at my core I'm such a fucking bummer that, you know, I need those kinds of things to, you know, keep my survival going. Yeah, happy endings are good, or happy movies that don't necessarily have happy endings are also good. So we should finish reading her letter.
Okay.
Did you want to finish the last
Sure.
Paragraph?
Julie finishes her letter with, For my final comments / suggestion, I would like to say that hearing you discuss sci-fi books and magazines would also be something I would be interested in. For instance, did you know that some people are working on resurrecting Amazing Stories as an e-magazine? A friend of mine, Patrick Price, is involved, and they are looking to get the word out about their project, so I direct your attention to the following email. A mention on Bad Rapport would give your listeners an early scoop on this exciting project and would also help the folks over at Amazing Stories.
That was not a very good reading, once again.
Ta-ta for now, Julie. So, yeah, she kind of passed along this link about that, so I guess Google that, Amazing Stories e-magazine, you can find out about it.
I don't think either of us are into sci-fi books or magazines.
Yeah, I really don't have time to read. I have the Chris Hardwick's The Nerdist Way on book and on CD, and I haven't had time to read or listen to either of them yet.
Yeah, Kindle app, and I haven't read it either.
Not to mention two books about Walt Disney or about Disney in general, and I started reading one of them, and I haven't had time to finish it. So
I used to read the Xanth series by Piers Anthony and almost anything else by Piers Anthony that I could get my hands on, which would be more classified as fantasy than it would be sci-fi, but he actually did some sci-fi. But that was a long time ago. All I'm reading right now is baby books.
Ah. Well, let's hear a couple of voice messages.
And turn the volume up?
Yes. Hopefully this works.
Okay.
Jerry, it's Blasted Bill, and Terry mentioned that she had to learn a Southern accent and an Irish accent for her school plays, but did not provide us an example. I demand that she give us an example of her accent. And also, in regards to Sledgehammer, it was the awesome. I loved Sledgehammer growing up. Well, it was only on for two seasons, but still, it was awesome. My favorite moment of that series was when they were dreaming, or I can't remember the exact context, but somehow reality was altered and the main character's gun started speaking to him. It was hilarious. I remember rolling on the floor laughing. And he used to sleep with, the gun was like huge, like massive, like the barrel was like huge, and he used to like sleep with it, and he had a name for it. I don't remember the name, but anyways, I do remember Sledgehammer. It was awesome. I loved it. And also, you did not say at the end that comments go at the end of the show. So does that mean the debate is still open? Comments can go at the beginning of the show? Just saying.
Luke, I don't think that worked. I think it was just picking up your speaker. Yeah. So you'll have to go back and edit that in. Bill, like almost everything else I learned in high school, I no longer have an Irish accent at all, and I can barely do a Southern accent, so I don't have examples for you.
Do examples.
Examples. Oh, and comments go at the end of the show. So
say comments go at the end of the show in a Southern accent.
No.
Do it.
Fuck off.
If it was me, you would do it. You'd be like, you have to do the thing. Now that somebody brought it up, you have to do it.
Yeah, but
and you
I
would
can't...
needle me, and you would needle me until I did it.
But I'd be doing something that I can't do. I told you I don't remember these things that I learned in high school.
If can'ts and do's were ants and shoes, you'd be having a picnic.
Fuck off.
You can't fake a cake on the make.
It would have to be something I would have to practice, and just practicing it just for your guys' amusement is not really enough of a reason.
So you Bad Rapport listeners are not enough of a reason for Carrie to make an effort ever, is what she's trying to say.
If we write a sketch or something where I need to do an accent, that's different. And we can and should do sketches on this show. I'm not really sure why we never do, except, you know, maybe sort of in News of the Stupid. But, you know, just to go put the effort into relearning an accent just so that I can just prove that I once knew how to do it. No. Screw you guys.
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Comments go at the end of the show, I do declare. There,
thank you, Scarlett.
All right. Now, here is another voice message.
Hey, Luke and Terry, it's Arkle. Regarding Sledgehammer, I actually kind of remember that show. Not as a first run, because I think I'm a little too young at the time. But my dad picked up the DVD Netflix not too long ago. And make copies of them for future viewing. But the point is that if you are interested in these series, it's available on DVD, both seasons. And of course, what's hilarious about that second season, you know, they're announcing that it took place before the nuclear explosion, was that the female cop was still a partner, even though in the first season they just met. And so, I mean, you know, they did play with it a little bit, but... I mean, I think there was one episode I remember is the police captain was dying of some virus, and it turned out that he actually had it for some time. But it was his anger, his constant anger with Sledgehammer that was holding it back. And so when he started taking anger management courses, one of the things starts killing him. I mean, I could be getting that somewhat wrong, and I'm doing this from memory. That was probably one of my favorite episodes. But yeah, if you're interested in it, I know for a fact it is on DVD, at the very least at Netflix. I'm sure you can probably find it in like a Best Buy or something, or whatever. Or does Best Buy even sell DVDs anymore? I don't even know. Alright. Sorry if this seems a little rambly. I'm walking and talking. That always throws me off a little bit. Alright, talk to you later. Bye.
The only thing I have to say is, yes, Best Buy still sells DVDs.
I had no idea that Sledgehammer was on DVD, and that it was so commonly available that you could get it at, you know, Netflix or Redbox. I'm going to have to look that up. So, wow. I'll have to check that out. Thank you for the comment, Arkel. So...
Does that mean we've come to the end?
Yeah.
That's good, because I need to get the hell out of here.
All right. Well, if you want to leave a comment for the show, go to... badreport.com, badrapport.com. You can leave a comment there. You could also email us, badreport@gmail.com. You could leave us a voicemail at 916-LUKESKI. That's 916, a bunch of numbers. and 585-3754, I think is what it is.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. 916-585-3754. And, yeah, you can also leave us an iTunes review, which nobody has done in the past week, but we did get one recently, and we're very happy about that. So, yeah, anything else you want to add to the show, Carrie?
Ladle. Salad tongs. Steak okay. Knife.
Wonderful. Anyway, until next time, this is Luke.
This is Carrie.
And this has been...
Luke and Carrie.
Battle Report!
Bye, women. Bye, lady who drinks. Bye, lady who thinks.
Oh, I get it. Bye, lady who cries.
Bye, lady who sighs.
Bye, lady who works.
Bye, lady who hurts.
Stop it. Stop it.
Bye, lady who's kind.
Bye, lady who's out of her mind. Bye, lady in a shop.
Bye, lady who's hot.
Bye, lady who's a cop.
Bye, lady who's in a shop.
Bye, lady who wears a hat.
Bye, lady who cat.
Is that all the different types of ladies covered now?
Nearly.
Bye bye lady watching TV.
Bye bye lady, watch it with me.
Bye bye lady, playing some sport.
Bye bye lady,
your legs look taut.
Bye bye lady, with an agenda.
Bye bye lady, who shops at La Senza.
Bye bye lady, from the butcher.
Bye bye lady, with Aston Kutcher.
Bye bye lady, climbing a tree.
Bye bye lady, eating a bee.
Bye bye lady, on her email.
Bye bye lady, are you sure she's female? Bye bye lady, I think I'm Russian.
Bye bye lady, are you my cousin?
Bye bye lady, plowing a field.
Bye bye lady, what a pianist for you.
Right, I'm done. Stop it.
I can see this someday. If I didn't have anything better to do. And I don't.
Let's carry on then.
Bye bye lady who is a bank clerk.
Bye bye lady hugging a shark.
Bye bye lady changing a tire.
Bye bye lady stuck in the mire.
Bye bye lady give me a call. Bye bye lady you are quite tall.
Bye bye Lady Gaga.
Bye bye Gaga.
Bye bye lady visiting the butcher.
Bye bye lady, I think I cooked her.
What have I done to her?
What have you done? He cooked her. Yes, he cooked her. Yes, he cooked her all in a stew. With stew. Food was over for the evening.
Bye lady who's crazy. Bye lady who's a baby.
Bye baby.
Bye lady.
Bye girlfriend.
Bye 12 friend.
What?
Yeah, let's stop.
That's the end.
Bye lady who winks.
Bye lady who thinks.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
MarsCon, MarsCon, MarsCon.
MarsCon 2012, MarsCon 2012, MarsCon, MarsCon, MarsCon 2012, MarsCon, MarsConDementia.com, MarsCon, www.marscon.org, MarsCon 2012, MarsConDementia.com, MarsCon 2012,
MarsCon, 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 MarsConDementia.com, MarsCon, MarsConDementia.com, MarsCon, MarsCon.com, MarsConDementia.com, MarsCon, 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 MarsConDementia.com.
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.